It comes up time and time again in this programme. Finding affordable housing in parts of rural Scotland is nigh on impossible. Now, there are umpteen reasons for this. In many parts of the Highlands, for example, holiday homes dominate, which means that there are no houses for local people, and when they do come up on the market, they're very expensive. Also, there's a sense that the availability of land for building new affordable houses is limited. One group of folk in Ardfern and Argyll are taking a new approach to trying to find somewhere affordable and legal to live. They've set up a cooperative and they're now looking for land. Helen spoke to Chrissy Sugden of the Acorn Cooperative.
The community that I live in, there are an awful lot of people who are living in caravans, some of them legally and some of them illegally, and it seems to be almost impossible to find affordable housing in the area.
You have a plan which is aimed at helping people to obtain affordable housing in rural areas. Can you tell me a bit about it?
Well, the idea is it's not just about affordable housing, it's also about livelihoods and about trying to help people, young people, stay in rural areas. So the idea is, based on the new legislation which allows people to create new crofts, is that we could club together, that a bunch of people could club together and buy a piece of agricultural land and create a new crofting township. That way people would have access to land that's affordable on which to build a house themselves, which would also be much cheaper than trying to buy somewhere, as well as have the opportunity to create a livelihood.
And how far have you progressed with this?
Well, we've started a cooperative. We've set ourselves up as an industrial and provident society, which is a particular kind of cooperative. We've now got 17 families who've signed up as members. We've got a website and a forum. There's a lot more people on the forum than there are members, so there's it seems to have generated quite a lot of interest.
And from people in the local area of Argyll or beyond?
Well, both really. We've got a handful of people locally who are the kind of the core group who set it up. But yeah, we've now got people, members from all over Scotland and some in England and even a couple who are abroad at the moment.
And the idea is that they contribute a certain amount of money in order to be able to fund the purchase of land. How much would that be, roughly?
Well, it obviously depends on the property. We were looking at a farm that was for sale, and we reckoned that on that farm, the farm that we could have set up 15 crofts, and each croft household would have to put up about £30,000 as a croft entrance fee in order to fund buying the farm.
And then on top of that, they would then fund the building of their own property?
That's right, yes. You know, that could be expensive if they go down the normal route, but we're hoping that the kind of people we're attracting are going to be interested in using local materials like roundwood timber or building with cob, which will be an awful lot cheaper.
We've come across other projects, for example, on Mull with the Community Woodlands, where they're developing forest crofts. How does it differ?
Well, this is more of a private venture. Although we are setting it up as a cooperative, it won't be publicly funded. It will be funded out of our own pockets. We're setting it up as a co-op because we want to be able to include a few people who can't afford to put up a croft entrance fee. As an IPS, we're allowed to issue loan stock, which means that we can raise a bit of money that we could loan to say, two or three households who couldn't raise the full £30,000.
I wonder how it will work out with the dynamics of the group as well, though. Have you met any of the people who have potentially signed up for this?
We haven't met any of those that don't live locally yet. We've been talking to each other on the forum, getting to know each other, and yes, we're having our first meeting in February, face-to-face, and it'll be very interesting to see how we get on.
And I guess just working out how it's going to operate as a community as well, you know, living within this shared space. Presumably there'll be some things which you do together and other things that you don't.
What I like about the crofting model is that, A, it's been well tried and tested, and that basically we're, you know, it's going to be slightly different from a community in the sense that we're not all sharing everything. So we're going to be neighbours with our own individual crofts, but we will have some land in common.
The big issue, though, is getting hold of some land.
It is indeed, yes. It does seem that most people who own land want to hang on to it.
There was prospect of some land further down the Argyll Peninsula, but that's not happening then.
That's true, yes. We found a farm that was for sale on Kintyre in the summer, which would have been perfect for our needs. Unfortunately, it's just been taken off the market, so we're now looking again.
What's your ideal piece of land for this? How much land are you looking for, and in what sort of place?
if I describe what we found, that would go quite a long way towards it. It was a farm that was laid out along the bottom of a north-south facing valley. Well, there was a beautiful river that snaked through the whole farm. There was some woodland. It had good agricultural land. So it had pretty much everything, really. So anything from that to a piece of woodland, although we aren't interested in woodland that's just been planted on really poor soil, as a lot of the woodlands are in Argyll. We want some decent land as well as woodland and a water source.
How many acres?
That's a difficult question. The farm we were looking at was 150 acres, and that would have done 15 households. But I think we would probably be interested in anything from 50 acres upwards, because, you know, we don't know how many people in the end are going to go forward with this project, and we may have to divide up into smaller groups. You know, we've got to be flexible.
Chrissy Sugden there of the Acorn Cooperative in Argyll. Interesting idea, this, but getting hold of land, it's really difficult. Demand is outstripping supply. And according to Tom Stuart Moore of Strutton Parker, the market for farms appears to be as strong as ever.
On the farm side of things, very strong, mainly due to a lack of supply of farms. We've estimated that it's down about 40% of availability of land on the market. So any farms that have come on have mainly sold.
Why are people selling them?
Mainly due to retirement, where there's not the next generation coming in to take on the property and to work it.
But a suggestion that there's no shortage of people wanting to buy that farm?
No, absolutely. Anyone who's got a farm is always looking to go bigger and better and extend. So the neighbouring farmer is always a big buyer for a farm that comes on the market. There are also investors, and also there's a tax haven involved in buying farms as well. So there's always those type of people who are going to buy.
What about the kind of upland end of the market? Because there's a lot of interest from presumably forestry and wind turbines.
Yeah, absolutely. The upland market is very much driven by those two. On the tree planting side of things, if there is tree planting capabilities and there is little in the way of residential property on it, the kind of the woodland buyers will tend to outbid any farmer at a closing date. And we've certainly sold a few farms this year that have been bought by woodland buyers.
So is there a bit of a turf war between potential wind farms and timber buyers?
Absolutely, and people are looking at it very closely as the capabilities of either tree planting or renewable energy. So they're one of the biggest, strongest buyers in the market for these type of properties.
You say there's demand. What kind of prices are you talking about?
Well, demand for prime arable land has probably increased this year due to lack of prime arable farms coming to the market. We've seen prices paid of over £8,000 an acre in the likes of East Lothian. And in the more kind of marginal farms, hill farms, you're probably looking up to kind of £1,200-£1,500 an acre being paid if there is planting capability. But the woodland buyers will tend to outbid the farmers.
Tom Stuart Moore there of Strutton Parker. It is getting tough out there, which means that people like Chrissy Sugden are struggling to find anywhere to set up their crofting township. Some people would argue that it's time for a major rethink of how land is dealt with in rural Scotland. People like writer and campaigner on land issues, Andy Whiteman.
Well, I think it's very imaginative. I think it's really quite sad in many ways that people are having to do this kind of thing for themselves. There's a crying need for affordable housing and for access to land in rural areas. It has been for many, many years. And people are struggling to find ways of addressing that need. And it seems that there's systematic failure, really. You know, local councils, the government, the land reform legislation hasn't really delivered. So people are coming up with their own solutions, of which this is a very imaginative one.
Is it feasible, though, to set up a crofting township from an existing working farm?
Yes, indeed. I mean, that was what happened at the beginning of the 20th century with the Land Settlement Acts. The soldiers came back from the war, the government bought farms and set up crofts. I mean, it's perfectly reasonable and it's a very sensible way forward.
The problem is getting land at a price that you can afford, because huge investment in land at the moment, it's quite a sexy investment for people.
Yes, I mean, particularly at this time of financial crisis, land is always seen as a safe haven for capital. And this is the fundamental problem we've got, is that we have an unregulated land market in which anyone from anywhere can buy as much land as they like. And this isn't just a problem for these people who are trying to, you know, set up a new settlement. It's a problem, for example, for young farmers who can't get hold of farms, because land is way overpriced. One of the reasons for that, of course, is land is not taxed. There's no cost of owning land, and it's also held by very, very few people. So in a rural area like Argyll, you may only have a dozen landowners within 10 miles that you can approach. And if they're not willing to sell, there's nothing you can do. And I think this really points to a failure in public policy here, because we have things like the community right to buy, the land reform legislation. We even have the Land Settlement Acts of 1911 and 1919, which are still in the statute book and government could invoke if they wished. And they're patently not working. Indeed, there was a community in Rossshire which got the community right to buy, wanted to get hold of this land to actually to build some houses and give folks some place to live in the village. And then the landowner just pulled out of it. And that's perfectly okay. So I think we need much, much stronger powers of intervention in the land market to allow people with viable projects who are addressing basic needs like housing to get land. People should not have to struggle for a generation to be able to do this kind of thing. The crisis now is so acute that I don't think we can simply rely on people seeking out willing sellers.
So is that the councils really have to take the lead on that and take a slice off an estate and make it available to local people?
Yeah, and this is what we did in the early 20th century. You know, we intervened in land markets. We bought farms. We split them up. We had land taxes. We had death duties. We had inheritance tax. And this was all designed to make land more available. And that's all now been rolled back. And we're very much enthralled to the idea that the market can look after it itself. And we're also very nervous about things like human rights legislation, which we think get in the way of doing a lot of these things, which is a mirage, really. Human rights is not really a big challenge to all of this. And I think, really, it is quite scandalous that very, very wealthy Russians, for example, are buying land in the middle of Edinburgh or in Argyll for vast sums of money as a tax shelter, registered offshore, paying no tax, and still living the life of Riley in London or Paris or Moscow. But there's local people who can't get land. And that, to my mind, is a political scandal.
Do you think it will change?
I don't know. There really needs to be pressure on the political establishment to reinvigorate the whole land reform process, which has really died. And without that kind of pressure, politicians won't act, because politicians are far more swayed by elite opinion within the farming lobbies, the landowning lobbies, etc. So we really need to build quite a big movement for land reform, to deliver land to people that need it on an individual basis, on a collective basis, on a community basis.
How do you get individuals to get that voice? Because, as you're hinting there, it's the rich, the powerful and those with influence that have the ear of those that make the decisions.
Well, I mean, I'm going out and about at the moment quite a bit, giving talks and meeting communities, and what I'm finding is a huge interest in this topic. People are desperate to talk about it, and they're desperate to try and find a way through to doing something about it. So I have hope that we will be able to create a movement that demands more radical land reform. It hasn't existed for a long time, so it's not going to happen overnight. But I'm certainly hopeful, and quite optimistic, in fact, it's going to happen because of the fact that people are in pretty dire straits, particularly in rural areas, with the whole question of not being able to get hold of land to bring up the families.
Andy Whiteman there, speaking to you. And lots and lots of issues raised there.
Big subject. And yeah, it's one of those things you might want to get in touch with us about. You can text 80295 or email outofdoors@bbc.co.uk, or you can phone on
0500 92 95 00. What are your thoughts on this? Because obviously there's pros and cons either way, but what Andy was saying about the fact that legislation currently exists, but nobody's used it for a long time.
And just the point he was making about people are really getting desperate, because, you know, £8,000 an acre for decent farmland, that's, you know, a great idea, set up your own farming crofting township, but that kind of money, that's seriously expensive. Yeah.
Well, admittedly, that was what, East Lothian?
That was East Lothian, but if you're looking for a bit of land that can produce stuff, even the same upland stuff is now £1,200 an acre because of the demand for wind farms and for forestry.
For forestry.
So, and just big bucks, it's hard for people to compete against that.
Yeah. And nobody's going to be looking to live on upland land.
Yeah. But if you've got a farm in Argyll that you want to give, we know some eager buyers.
Yeah, we'd be delighted to hear from you. 0500 92 95 00, as we were saying.